The allure of talking to Trey Wallace is always there, and he joins us now of Rocky Top Insider. Hey, Trey, first of all, congrats on the move, and we wish you the best with that, man. Congratulations.
Nikki, thanks so much, man. It's good to be on with you guys this afternoon. I always appreciate the kind words, and congratulations to you, buddy, on getting that Whataburger.
Yeah, very exciting news in my life. Is I've committed to Whataburger. If anybody wondered, I had fast food bags on a table, and I chose the Whataburger bag earlier today. Thank you, Trey. Alex Apple sitting in with me from Fox 17 here, the news organization, the TV station. Trey Wallace joins us from Rocky Top Insider. So Ty Simpson, as Alex was just pointing out, basically said, I hope that you will find it in your hearts to celebrate with me. But Roll Tide, I'm going to Alabama. Your thoughts as we react to something that just happened.
Man, that had to be so difficult for that young man to sit there in that room and do that, commit to Alabama. But I think he made the right decision for himself. I think this is, you know, and another thing that I like to say too in this situation too is that we're 8 months, 7 months away from signing day. Tennessee's not going to stop. I think they're going to move on and try to go after a quarterback like Sam Horn, but they're not going to stop picking up the phone and calling Ty Simpson. This just doesn't end a relationship. I think it was horrible timing with Jeremy Pruitt being fired and Chris Winkie as well. And it kind of led to where that we're sitting now. Ty Simpson is probably committing to Tennessee if Jeremy Pruitt's the head coach. But the problem is Jeremy Pruitt screwed all that up by committing allegedly a bunch of violations. So, you know, I this is an interesting situation because Mickey and Alex, you know this, you want to get the best players out of the state. And once you have a once in an every 10, 15 year type quarterback, you want to take him. But I thought this, if Ty Simpson wasn't committed to Tennessee, I just thought it was a lot bigger than just a quarterback situation. I thought it was a, hey, we're setting up for the future. Look who we can bring in right now, immediately. Look who we can look to into the state of Tennessee and to pick up players. That's where I think this thing hurts because they can, because Mickey, you know, they can go find a quarterback. Like they'll go find a quarterback that can work in that system. But I think what really hurts them is you're letting a kid like this get out of state. And now, what does that do for the rest of the 2022 class? How do they look at that decision?
Trey Wallace joins us from Rocky Top Insider. Let me just ask you this, a bigger picture question. So we're, I think, one day away from being 1 month into the Josh Heupel era. How do you think it's gone so far? And not just like, okay, they didn't get Ty Simpson, but just overall, with recruiting, he finally hired, I think, their one defensive coach short with how he fits in Knoxville. And how do you say things are going so far?
I think things are going as smoothly as they could be for the moment. I think it took them a minute to it didn't take them a minute to get the offensive staff situated. It took them a minute to get the defensive staff situated. And, you know, I think they did good bringing in Rodney Garner off the bat before hiring a defensive coordinator. And I think you got somebody like Tim Banks, who's going to be able to, in my opinion, be a walk-around defensive coordinator, somebody that they need. You go get Brian Jean Mary from Michigan. You got Willie Martinez. Overall, I think he's done well when it comes to putting a staff together. I think now it's all about how do you implement this offense in the next 3.5 weeks before they start spring practice. But I've talked to folks into the building. He's doing a lot of things besides working out. They're doing, you know, like construction type projects on the field, team building exercises. And I know Tennessee fans don't want to hear that, and that's okay. But this is a type of coach that does it completely different than what Jeremy Pruitt tries to do. And the biggest thing, too, is he's trying to let these players know that, man, you can trust me. I'm your head coach now. You can trust the staff. And I think that's the biggest part of this. I've been told that he is building up relationships with the leadership council that they have there, you know, getting their vote of confidence on certain things that have gone on in the program. And I just think overall, Josh Heupel will end up doing pretty decent at Tennessee. It's just going to take some time. And if they can figure everything out in the next, I don't know, let's say month, and they can have a decent spring and lay the foundation of what they want to do in the summer and the fall, I think they'll be okay. But 1 month in, Mickey, I'd say you got your staff. You've got your recruiting staff in the building. You got your support staff in the building now. That's hard to do. You're literally rebuilding a house, and they're doing that right now. So we'll see.
Right, it's Trey Alex Wallace Apple here.
Yeah, Trey Wallace joins us from Rocky Top Insider.
Thanks for being with us. You know, I don't think it's a small thing. You can tell me how much you agree with this take, the team building aspect, because I look at Tennessee teams of recent years, especially when there's been a little bit of an expectation like this last year with Jeremy Pruitt, you know, maybe this is the year they kind of break through. And I look at those kids, and even if they've not grown up Tennessee fans and don't know the history as well as all of us as fans and reporters and those in the media do, anytime the first thing goes wrong, they sense the antsiness of the fan base around the campus and within the program. And I didn't think that there was much joy on Jeremy Pruitt's team when things started to go wrong. I mean, you look at that BYU game last year, here we go again. I mean, the collective sphincter in that stadium was so tight last year. You know, there was very little joy. I think that that team building and having a trust in the coach is important, because I don't know how Tennessee is going to snap that cycle of here we go again, right?
The chemistry, Well, I'll say this. The chemistry on the football team was not good last year. The chemistry within the coaching staff is even worse. I think the biggest thing that Tennessee has to do, you got to build up trust within your own locker room. And you saw that at times. Look, when things got off the rail, they got off the rail. And there's one thing about the Tennessee football team last year. They never stopped playing. You know, they went to the fourth quarter. They were giving it their all, whatever. But there were chemistry problems within that program, and it was visible at times on the field. And that doesn't. And what that is I think that is a look at the staff that goes down to the locker room, because when your staff is not on the same page, your team gets off on the same page, because you got different position coaches, or maybe, you know, they're arguing about something over here, and they're arguing, so nobody can really get in together. I think it's big for them to do whatever they can do over the next 3 to 4 weeks, then the summertime, to build up some kind of camaraderie with this team. Because you look at the players that they lost as well. They lost Henry Toa-Toa. He's in the portal. I know he hasn't announced anywhere, but that I don't see Henry Toa-Toa returning to Tennessee next year. I think he ends up at the same spot where Ty Simpson just committed to. Yeah. You look at the Wanya Morses and the Eric Grays, Jameer Johnsons, whatnot, that have left Tennessee. I think that actually benefits them in the long run, because now Tennessee can go find themselves somebody there that you know was 100% in the boat. This new staff has one thing going for them right now. There's not controversy. There's not turmoil. There is nothing going on within that staff that could hold them back from what they're trying to set forth in the future. I think with this previous staff, there would have been a lot of changes if Jeremy Pruitt were to return. There were going to be a lot of coaches who weren't going to have to be back. So what was going to have to happen, Mickey? They were going to have to build up, you know, Alex, all this camaraderie again and trust. So it's just something that Josh Heupel's done at UCF, and he's doing up here at Tennessee. And I think he's getting a couple of these ideas from his athletic director, Danny White, as well, which is helping.
I'm a Trey Wallace, Rocky Top Insider. So when are we going to hear about this last defensive hire? When is that expected to be made? I guess that's the final piece of the puzzle, right?
Yeah, I would think sometime in the next 72 hours. I don't think there are any kind of rush to make that happen. I think that's Tim Banks's operation right there in hiring that last position coach. We'll see how they go with it. You know, I mean, do you throw them on the defensive ends, or do you throw them at, let's say, outside linebackers? You know, do you because I don't think you want to have Tim Banks as the secondary coach, you know, along with Willie Martinez. So who do you get in there to fill that kind of spot in special teams maybe? So they're going to take the time. I think it's in the next 72 hours. And I think what they'll do again is have themselves a big old press day where they announce all the defensive coaches, and, you know, they'll talk for 15 minutes and that'll be the end of it. But I don't think there are any kind of rush, and you don't have to be right now. I mean, there's really nothing out there that is going to help them unless it's something to do with recruiting. So I think you're in a good spot.
Trey, I don't know how good this team is going to be next year. They did lose a ton of talent. But sometimes you see a guy come in and breathe such fresh life into the program, kind of like Lane Kiffin did at Ole Miss, to borrow an old friend's name. And it really changes them around, and they're better than you expect. You know, because Heupel comes with, and it's the first Vols coach in a while that's come with this, you know, a prolific offensive system. Well, maybe they're better just for having that system next year. I don't know. I mean, what are the chances that, you know, he can galvanize this unit around something like that? And I'm asking you because I'm curious your take on if he even has the offensive weapons to let a scenario like that play out.
I think he has – look, I think he has weapons at wide receiver. I think he has some weapons at running back. I think that at the quarterback situation where everybody's going to look, and the thing about this is, all these players, all these four quarterbacks, they're going to be learning the same new offense. So nobody really has a leg up unless they've been studying UCF offense for the last 4 years, which they haven't. I think Hendon Hooker is a quarterback that can come in and run this type of system. I don't know what to make of Caden Salter yet because it's hard to do. You don't know what an 18-year-old kid's going to do in his first month and a half on campus, but maybe he picks up that offense. Here's something. Somebody brought this up to me the other day when we were chatting. These quarterbacks, you know, two of them are going to have to completely wipe out everything that they've learned over the last 2 to 3 years and now install a completely different type of offense into their brain. You've got Hendon Hooker, who I get, who was running some things at Virginia Tech, but he was running kind of like a lot of RPO stuff that they were already running at UCF, but just not as fast. And then you've got Caden Salter, who's going to come in fresh, clean slate in his head. So I'm kind of wondering who's going to be that guy that steps up. Harrison Bailey, you know, I don't see Harrison Bailey, how he could be a fit for this system, but that's just me. Like he's got a good arm. He's a little bit mobile, but if you go look at this, it's every 10 seconds you're running a football play and you got to have a quarterback in that system that has the mental capability of knowing everything that they want you to run. Getting up to that line of scrimmage, getting your guys on the ball, running that play, getting back down, running it again. I don't know if Harrison Bailey is that type of quarterback in a sense of he feels like a drop back kind of guy and not get up, get outside the pocket, run down the field. So that's what makes things interesting. And also keep in mind, too, Brian Maurer is still on this roster. And Brian Maurer was recruited by UCF before he came to Tennessee. So if Brian Maurer can stay upright, then maybe he's got some kind of a shot, too, to be some type of this offense. I would rather see Brian Maurer at wide receiver, in my opinion, than I would at quarterback. I know. It's interesting.
Receiver?
Yeah, oh, man.
Has he ever played it?
No, he hasn't, but I was told in the offseason he was running routes. When here's something funny, and I'm just if he doesn't make it a quarterback, I was like, you know, where can they put him? But when Jared Garantano was coming back from injury last year, Brian Maurer was the one out there running routes for Jared Garantano. Oh, this is the absolute craziest thing in the world. So if they were to put him somewhere, I don't know, maybe you put him there. If not, he's got to go play quarterback somewhere else. But you know what? That's what Tennessee's going to have to do right now. They're going to have to find playmakers at any position. But I think they're good enough, Mickey and Alex, at wide receiver. We don't need to put a Brian Maurer out there. But he did talk to the old wide receiver coach about maybe making that move. So I'll be interested.
The reverse Ryan Tannehill going from quarterback to wide receiver. Alex and I were talking about this earlier, and Blaine and I talked about it the day it happened when they had that never-ending Zoom with all the offensive coaches. Trey, I felt like they were making some very pointed comments about, you know, we don't make you worry about things. We're not going to just pull you out. It felt like they were talking to the people on the roster, last year's staff. I mean, it seemed like they made some very pointed comments, Trey, about quarterback play.
That was a filibuster that day. Yeah. I mean, it never ended. it was one thing after the other. No, I agree. They were making a statement to the guys on the roster. They knew that, you know, they all read social media. They see video clips. They're going to be paying attention to what these coaches have to say. If they're going to say in front of the media and the thousands of people across the country, I promise you they're going to hit that hammer down, you know, in a meeting room, in a quarterback room or a wide receiver room. So, no, I think that they were sending a message. Also, I think that they were sending, I don't want to say sending a message to the previous staff, but just saying, hey, look, this is how they did it. We're not doing that anymore. This is a completely different offense. This offense is going to make Tennessee fans kind of lose their mind at times because it's going to be so hard to keep up with at times. But I think it's going to benefit Tennessee because I think you're going to see a lot more points on the scoreboard. Now, it's all about the defense. Can they keep up and keep guys off the field? And, you know, what happens when you go out there and you go three and out in 45 seconds and then the defense is back on the field? So, but I do. I think Golis, I think Hazel, they were all sending messages to their players on how they're going to go about the future. And hopefully that message gets across because they've got a lot of work to do now as they get ready for spring football, which I imagine is going to kick off probably that last week of March as we get towards the spring football game.
Trey Wallace from Rocky Top Insider bringing the heat today. I like it. A little Brian Maurer talk. I'd honestly forgotten he was on the roster. So many transfers, but that's on me.
It's just something different. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know how to explain it. I really don't. Like, once I found out he was running routes, and I was like, well, that would be kind of interesting if you stay healthy.
I mean, not a bad position to end up with in Josh Heupel's offense. You could do worse than being having to play receiver. Let me real quick, one more question for you. Put you on the spot. More likely to happen this year, the Vols basketball team makes a run, deep tournament run, Elite Eight, we'll say, stopping short of Final Four, or the baseball team makes the College World Series. They're off to a good start this year as well.
I knew you'd throw something at me like this. I'm going to go with the baseball team making a run towards Omaha. I think Tony Vitello's got himself a good squad. I think they have some great starting pitching. I think they have a good middle of that lineup hitting. And I don't trust this Tennessee basketball team. I thought I would coming into this season. I thought I would 10 games into the season. But I just don't know who's going to be that guy day in and day out. Victor Bailey Jr., he's your leading scorer at Vanderbilt. He's your leading scorer last two out of three basketball games. What's that say about the other players on the roster? That's the difficult part that we sit in right now. Fulkerson, I can't explain it. You know, it's just hard to explain with John Fulkerson. I think he comes back next year, maybe tries this thing again. But I would say as we sit right now, as Tennessee gets ready to play Auburn on Saturday, that I'd take Tony Vitello and the boys going out to Omaha.
That's a TCU disciple right there. Jim Schlossnagel had Vitello on the staff.
Hey, Trey, is this basketball team, this is a strange thing to say in the times that we live in, is this basketball team too unselfish?
Man, that's a good way to put it. I mean, they don't have a monster. When I say a monster, a guy that can take over night in, night out. I mean, and they don't. And look, we've seen Keon Johnson. Look, we saw Jaden Springer go for 20. The other night, you know, we've seen Keon Johnson go off, but they don't have that guy that just wants to go into every game and say, hey, give me the ball. Let me go down to the post. And I agree with you, Mickey, in a sense where there's too much spreading the love and not one player taking over in a sense. I mean, look what Epons did the other night. Epons is outside the perimeter right there. He had a guy guarding him. He got two guys in the post. What does Epons do? He drives to the basket, goes through three guys, slams it home. But I haven't seen that type of play all season long. And that's been the most interesting part of this Tennessee basketball team, to see them not take advantage of the situations that they are in with this talent. Because the talent on this roster, it should be Final Four type talent. But like you just said, the unselfishness – this makes it look like a round of 32, Sweet 16 and out type team. And that's what Tennessee fans are so mad about.
They need Ron Slay, Tyler Smith to walk back through that door. Wayne Chisholm.
I mean, what? Man, we can go Slay Brian right. Williams as well.
Duke Cruz.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I remember the late, great Joe Biddle saying about Duke Cruz that he wanted him to go to Duke so he'd have his front name on the front and the back of the jersey.
God bless Biddle.
No doubt, man. The best for sure. Trey, hey, man, it's been too long. It's great catching up with you. People need to check out Rocky Top Insider. I'm telling you, I'm a huge fan. Caught some of the podcasts with Marty Smith. I think Tennessee fans will really enjoy hearing his perspective. And you got that up on your site and a whole bunch more good stuff.
Yeah, I sure appreciate it so much for having me on and having a good time. We're a week into this thing, Rocky Top Insider. A lot of great things coming. You guys keep up the great work. It was awesome to chat with Alex. First time ever doing that before. And Mickey, I love you. Congratulations again on your Whataburger. Don't eat too much, bud.
Thank you, Trey.